Turn your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 33. As I mentioned in the introduction, I'm going to preach a message entitled God's Biblical System of Government. Now, you know, I know we're just past an election and all that, but I think we need to be biblical of all things and realize that this republic, it's not a democracy. I know a lot of people say that. You really want to be right, you would call it a republic. God's Word is the source of the republican form of government, or the republic form of government that our founding fathers used to design our three branches of government. Watch this in Isaiah 33:22. If you've never seen it, it's very interesting. Isaiah 33:22, "For the Lord is our judge," like the judicial branch in the government. "The Lord is our lawgiver," like the legislative branch. "The Lord is our king, he will save us." So you've got the executive branch. So you've got the judicial, where the judges are, the Supreme Court. You've got the lawgiver, legislative branch, and then you've got the king, which is the executive branch. So, but we didn't want a king because we came from England who had a king and he abused some of his power in doing so. And because, you know, taxation without representation, Boston Tea Party, all of that stuff. But when you look at the Bible, those three branches of government, that's God's form of government. It's not communism. It's not socialism. It's not, you know, you don't have to work to eat. In fact, the Bible says if a man will not work, neither should he eat. So, you know, our form of government is a biblical form of government. Why do you think the devil would hate it so much? Why has America been so successful? Why was Britain so successful? Because, you know, they had that type of government also to a certain extent. I think our Constitution helped perfect some of those imperfections of man, because the whole idea on the three branches of government is that the judicial branch is not supposed to be the legislative branch. It has become that. And the executive branch has become the legislative branch, and it's not supposed to be like that. And it's going to be like that in the next administration if it happens that way too. Well, that's what executive orders are. They're actually legislating and doing the job of the legislature by bypassing that. So it's a very dangerous, and it's not constitutional. It's going against our Constitution, things like that. So it's good to know that. But the point I want to make, and it's most important, is that our system of government is in the Bible. And it's, you know, socialism's in there too. They had all things common in the book of Acts, and, you know, then they had to send support to those in Jerusalem because of the poor saints in Jerusalem. Because communism only, you know, works for so long until you find out you don't have to work to eat. Everybody gets the same, well, except for the higher-ups, the ruling class. You know, they don't starve. I was in China, and I told you the story. I'm with a government official there in Hainan, which is the island off of the mainland. And, I mean, this guy, you know, he'd bring out, you know, a turntable, and it would have 15 different things you can choose from. I ate everything. I mean, I just ate a, you know, piece of everything. You just take your chopsticks. He brought out another 15. He brought out a third 15. By then, I'm just about ready to explode. But I love the food. But here he was, a government official. And now they don't eat like that. They don't all eat like that. But he did. And that's the problem. You know, I mean, communism, socialism, boy, on the surface, sounds great. But as soon as you find out you don't have to work, it takes away the incentive to work. And if they take away everything that you've got because you worked, it takes the incentive away to work. So let's look at Acts chapter 5 and consider something about personal wealth. Personal wealth. It's the story of Ananias and Sapphira. If you remember, they lied to Peter, and Peter said, you know, you've lied to the Holy Ghost. You didn't lie to me. You lied to the Holy Ghost, and then they dropped dead because of it. But the point of the story is what I want to get at. Acts 5:1, "But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira's wife, sold a possession, kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost to keep back part of the price of the land? Here's the point. During the early part of the church, the founding of the church, they had all things common. It's called the Apostles' Doctrine. In Acts chapter 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, you'll see this. They'll sell everything they've got, and it's communism. That's why Karl Marx, he went to seminary, and he learned some things even from the Bible. You can find a sort of communism in there, but it shows it didn't work. Well, here's the point. He said, you kept back part of the land. They were being hypocritical, and that's why they're going to get judged. But look at verse 4. Whiles it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. The point is, verse 4, they had private ownership, and it was a voluntary thing in Acts chapter 4 and 5. It was not something that we're forced to do. The apostles' doctrine was, look, we're all in this together. Those that are working, you know, you need to bring what you've got and you need to put it, we need to pile it all up together and distribute it as every man had need. But again, it was a choice you make. It wasn't something forced upon them. And the point that he's making, while it remained, was it not thine own? You had private ownership, and that's what the Bible's telling you. So again, that's our system of government. Turn to Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20. The New Testament church recognized that personal ownership of property. Here's another thing. So maybe third point. Our biblical system of government is found in Isaiah 33:22. Personal wealth is condoned by God, and it's true and it's right. The third thing is that the owner pays who he will and what he wants to pay to them. You know, we got this minimum wage debate. And again, I'm not getting into politics. I guess I am, but I'm not. I'm trying not to. I'm just trying to be biblical. You know, you're not supposed to. You know, I know there were abuses done. And that's why the unions came in, and the unions helped some, but then the unions get carried away. You know, you can't fire a bad employee. Why? Because he's in the union. You know, he can be sleeping on the job. Well, he's got a union representative that's going to get him out of it. And if he's stealing from the company, well, you know, he only did it once or whatever it is. Unions had their place, and unions did some good. But then when men control power and power corrupts, unions get corrupted. That's all I can tell you. In other words, unions, if unions were run by a bunch of godly people with godly principles, unions would be great. But that's not the way it works. Usually by the mob, you know, that's who runs them. You know, we always joke about Jimmy Hoffa. This guy was looking for the gas lines over here, and he's running along. I said, what are you doing? He said, oh, just looking for buried bodies. I said, well, let me know if you find Jimmy Hoffa. We've been looking for him for a while. Now, Jimmy Hoffa was never, you know, some of the kids may not know. You can look him up on the internet, sort of. He was never found. He was a mobster. But in Matthew chapter 20, look at what the Bible says in verse 1. For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. When he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard, and he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. He said unto them, go ye also in the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. And again he went out about the sixth and ninth hour and did likewise. About the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle, and saith unto them, why stand ye here all the day idle? They say unto him, because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, go ye also in the vineyard, whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. So when he was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his steward, call the laborers, give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came, they were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. And when the first came, they supposed they should have received more, and they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good men of the house, saying, these last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is, and go thy way. I will give unto this last, even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? That's the point of the story. The point of the story, here's a guy hiring people. Now, you may look at him and go, well, that isn't fair. But who are you to judge him, what he does, and how he helps other people? If it was fair to give somebody a penny for a day, it's fair to give somebody a penny for a day, and that's what they agreed to. What if somebody only works an hour and he gives them a penny? That's nobody else's business. You see, that's the point of the whole thing. The point of the whole thing is it's not your business to tell a businessman how to run his business, but we've got all this government interference into it. That's what's happened in America. The reason that we have stymied so much growth, the reason that we have destroyed so much incentive is for that reason. Listen, if a man will not work, neither should he eat. So what do we do in America? Well, we say, well, look, if you know, we'll give you unemployment. And listen, I understand some of that. But I've never had a hard time finding a job. Why? I wasn't going to sit on my duff. I was going to get up. I was going to work. I never collected unemployment. If you did, I'm not telling you you're wrong. I'm just telling you I never did because I never had to. If I could have and should have, I would have. How about that? In other words, I'm not telling people they're wrong for accepting unemployment. In fact, during the COVID times, probably more people that said they would never do it, just like all the nevers we've said in churches, will never shut the church down. A lot of people said they would never collect it, have collected it. You know, it's up to each person. If I was in the midst of COVID and I wasn't able to make any money and I had to put food on the table, I would have to reconsider what I've done all my life. And fortunately for me, it didn't happen that way. But when you look at this, the point is, look, it's not the government's responsibility to interfere with the employer so much. And I think that's what we need to see. Turn to Proverbs 15. I want to show you two things that are just points that I want to make that are sort of side points on this whole thing. But in Proverbs 15, 19... Proverbs 15, 19. The way of the slothful man is a hedge of thorns, but the way of the righteous is made plain. So he's contrasting the slothful. Who is that? That's a lazy person. Listen, one of the things you want to make sure you are not is lazy. You ought to work. You ought to teach your children to work. You ought to give them a job to do. Pay them for doing that job. Show them how important it is to be industrious and to think about, hey, what can I do to make sure that I am not dependent upon the government and that I'm not dependent upon others. Well, learn how to work hard, whether that's get an education. Some people, they're primed for an education. Others are not. Not everybody should be out there getting a college degree. In fact, the majority of those going after college degrees should not be getting a college degree. And I only know that because I've investigated the colleges. They're getting money from the government, getting people in debt, and giving them worthless degrees. That's it. So it's a scam today. You know, I tell people, listen, if you don't get a good degree, number one, and get a good degree from a reputable college that shows a proven track record on getting you a job, you're probably wasting your money, wasting your time, wasting your effort, and you're going to be really frustrated at the end when you're out here flipping burgers with a college degree. So look at Proverbs 13. Proverbs 13, verse 4. The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. So you're contrasting two things. The soul of the sluggard, well, he desires things, but listen, if you're lazy, you're not going to get them. You're not going to have that that force behind you, that drive behind you to get it. Now, I want to give you Jesus' answer to poverty. It's going to be found in Matthew chapter 26. Matthew 26. You know, you need to know this, and I'm sure most of you or all of you do. Judas Iscariot carried the bag. He was the treasurer. You know, no, sorry, Anita. Not thinking of you. But he carried the bag. And he was a self-righteous man in this story. Look at Matthew 26:6. When Jesus was in Bethany, the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment, poured it on his head as he sat at meat. When his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, "To what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor." When Jesus understood it, he said unto them, "Why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. For ye have the poor with you, always with you, but me ye have not always. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this woman hath done, be told for memorial of her." Now, this didn't tell the story of Judas Iscariot, but Judas is the one that carried the bag, and then he made a big deal about this situation too. All the disciples did. So again, it's ignorance. You got the Lord there. There is nothing you can do too much for the Lord. And that's the point. You got the poor always. And he told you how to take care of the poor. Listen, if we would follow biblical means, we would be taking care of the poor. You know, if you had a farm in Israel, you didn't collect every kernel of corn. You left some for the poor to go and take, and you didn't round, you know, you didn't get every corner. You know, you rounded it, and then they had places where they could go in and get some of that. And that, you know, they're going to work to go get it, so they are working. They're just not the ones that planted it. Maybe they don't have land. But there's a way to take care of things like that. And the thing is, if we would get back to biblical principles, we would not have this country and the world in the mess that it's in. Look at Luke 19. Luke 19. I think it's pretty interesting. In Luke 19, Jesus recognizes and endorses a business setup. Luke 19:12. "And he said, therefore, certain noblemen went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, Occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him, saying, We will not have this man to reign over us. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him, to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading." What is that? That's like the stock market. Like, you know, and again, you hear me dog the stock market just because, you know, I have had bad experiences with it. I mean, the Lord showed me I wasn't supposed to be doing none of that. You know, because I put a stock in, it blows through the roof, and I don't sell it, and it blows down to nothing, and I'm just looking at it going, you know, and it's not like I'm dumb, I can't focus on it. I don't have enough, you know, I don't have enough time to get in there and learn it all. And, you know, then I had another one, put a stop sell on, and it dropped down, oh good, and sold, and then it shot through the roof, and I'd already sold it, and I was like, ugh, man. So, I'm telling you right here how much every man gained by trading. The stock market's fine so long as you're not borrowing money to put in the stock market. That's 1929. That's the Great Depression. You know, and by the way, where we are today with people in debt, you know, it's a terrible, terrible thing because, you know, you're spending your future, paying interest on it, and what do you have to show for it? So you look at verse 16. "Then came the first, saying, Lord, my pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, Well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, thou hast have thou authority over 10 cities. Second came, saying, Lord, my pound hath gained 5 pounds. He said likewise to him, be thou also or 5 cities. Another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept, laid up in a napkin, for I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up that thou layest not down, reapest thou didst not sow. He said unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then gavest not thou my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury? And he said unto them that stood by, take from him the pound and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. Wow. What's that story about? Well, is there anything wrong with having a bank account? You know, so again, you got to look at biblical principles and be biblical. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. Now, it's all about purpose. It's all about need. It's all about what you do. But the point is, when you look in the Bible, you have all the answers. You don't have to go, well, you know, I don't know if it's right to save money. I don't know if it's right to, you know, charge interest. And by the way, I was in the Air Force. I charged this guy interest. You know, he wanted to go fly somewhere. I saved my money and I loaned him some money and he gave me a whole lot more money back. Other than that, when I was lost, I've never charged anybody interest. And I just don't. You know, I don't know how anybody in here, well, yeah, I did. I sold my house and had a mortgage on it. Guy never paid me and sort of reneged on the whole thing and I lost a lot of money. But I was going to charge him interest, but got nothing. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. I've just got to make sure I tell you the truth. I can't tell you I never did. You know, but it was somebody buying a house for cheap. Ephesians chapter 4, we'll look at only two more verses or two more passages and we'll be done tonight. I wanted to give you tonight God's biblical system of government because I want us to understand that all the answers that we seek are in the Bible. Everything we need to know is in the Scripture. You don't have to guess about these things. You know, we looked at it. You want to know what the biblical system of government is? It's in the Bible. And that's the way it is. It's not communism. It's not socialism. If our representatives there in Washington, from the president or future president and vice president and Speaker of the House and everybody else would understand these principles, they would understand, look, and it's going to get a little more intense here on the last one because I've already quoted it, but let's look at it. If they would learn these things, we wouldn't be in so much trouble. Ephesians 4:28. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. So, first of all, don't steal. Secondly, labor. Thirdly, work with your hands that which is good. Why do you work? That he may have to give to him that needeth. You don't work to get. You really work to give. I mean, that's what life's supposed to be about. It's supposed to be about how we can help each other out, what we can do for each other, what we can do for others. That's what it's all about. And that's what Ephesians 4 is talking about. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, and that's where we're going to close tonight. And boy, what a principle if the, you know, our government would not be in the situation that it is in if this principle was abided by. 2 Thessalonians 3, 10, 11, and 12. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work. Now notice it says would not. It does not say cannot. It says he will not, he won't. If any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. Solution to all the problems in the world right there. If you can work, work. If you won't work, it's not the government's responsibility to take care of you. By the way, it's not the church's responsibility to take care of you too. Listen, I'll tell people, look, you know, we got some work. You want to do some work? You know, I'd take him to a grocery store. I'd take him to get some gas sometimes. Now, I'm going to tell you what, if they're driving a nicer car, and my car is pretty nice right now, they're driving a nicer car than me, I'm not going to go fill up their gas tank. You know, well, I'm just trying to, you know, I'm trying to get a plane ticket over to so-and-so. I told you the story. This guy came in and we helped him out, helped him out, helped him out. Come to find out, he was the biggest crook. Man, it just, phew, it got me. Of course, he had a cut across here. Somebody had cut his neck, cut his throat at one point. It should have been a sign, I suppose. But man, I really got disillusioned after that. I remember Gary, he was one of my assistants, and I said, he came in for $5 more one day, and I said, and I was already, we were already into him for a lot, and I asked, because we'd helped him, and everybody in the neighborhood helped him, and I said, Gary says, well, no, I don't want to give him the $5. I said, Gary, give him the $5. And Gary gave him the $5, because I didn't have any money with me or something. I just paid Gary back, and Gary was right. Listen, you live and learn it. You live and learn. I don't know what I was trying to say. Live and learn. The point is, our system of government's there. Every answer you want's in the Bible. You want to know what to do? Let's just say voting. You want to know how to vote? If everybody voted according to the principles I laid out today, they would know how to vote. May have changed the outcome. Of course, it may not have. We don't know, do we? All right, let's all stand together. I hope you have a blessed rest of the week. It's going to warm up a little bit. I know it is cold for Florida. Actually, I don't know if you got out there this morning, but did you see all the frost on the roofs? Man, I felt like I was up in Knoxville. Of course, I think it snowed up in Gatlinburg this week. So it is a little bit cool, but we'll just... We'll just huddle up together on Saturday. All right. And listen, I need. Oh, well, let me. Are we offline? Go ahead and shut us down. I was going to say one more thing. So I mentioned. Are we off? Okay. I did. I mentioned I have. I was tested, or I gave blood, and I have the antibodies for the COVID. But again, there's a lot of false positives. I just want to.